天早上我们有好几处的经文要看。
This morning we have many different passages to read.
首先我们打开生命记十九章第十五节到二十一节。
Let's first to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19 verses 15 to 21.
如果你有英文的，你就跟着看。
If you read in English, then just follow along.
生命记十九章第十五节，人无论犯什么罪，做什么恶，不可凭一个人的口做见证，总要凭两三个人的口做见证才可定案。若有凶恶的见证人起来见证某人作恶，这两个争讼的人就要站在耶和华面前和当时的祭司并审判官面前，审判官要细细地查究，若见证人果然是做假见证的，以假见证陷害弟兄，你们就要待他如同他想要待的弟兄，这样就把那恶从你们中间除掉，别人听见都要害怕，就不敢在你们中间再行这样的恶了。你眼不可顾惜，要以命赏命，以眼还眼，以牙还牙，以手还手，以脚还脚。然后我们看二十五章第一节到第四节。
And then let's turn to chapter 25 verses 1 to 4.
人若有争讼来听审判，审判官就要定一人有理，定二人有罪。二人若该受责打，审判官就要叫他当面伏在地上，按照他的罪照数责打，只可打他四十下，不可过数。若过数，便是轻贱你的弟兄了。牛在场上踹鼓的时候，不可拢住他的嘴。然后我们看二十二章第六节到第七节。
And also chapter 22 verses 6 and 7.
你若路上遇见鸟窝，或在树上，或在地上，里头有这个字是杵啊。组成杵，就是那些小小的鸟儿，或有蛋，母鸟孵在杵上，或在蛋上，你不可连母带杵一并取去，总要放母，只可取杵，这样你就可以享福，日子得以长久。那么然后我们看二十章十九节到二十节。
Chapter 20, verses 19 and 20.
你若许久围困攻打所要取的一座城，就不可举斧子砍坏树木，因为你可以吃那树上的果子，不可砍伐田间的树木，岂是人叫你糟蹋吗？唯独你所知道不是结果子的树木可以毁坏砍伐，用以修筑营垒，攻击那与你打仗的城，直到攻塌。那么下来是二十二章第九到十一节。
And chapter 22 verses 9 to 11.
不可把两样种子种在你的葡萄园里。我们跳过去这个不用念。十五章。
Well, skip that one and go to chapter 15 verses 12 to 18.
十五章十二节到十八节。 你弟兄中若有一个希伯来男人或希伯来女人被卖给你，服侍你六年，到第七年就要任他自由出去。你任他自由的时候，不可使他空手而去，要从你羊群、窝场、酒渣之中多多地给他。耶和华你的神怎样赐福给你，你也要照样给他。要纪念你在埃及地做过奴仆，耶和华你的神将你救赎。因此我今日吩咐你这件事，他若对你说我不愿意离开你，是因他爱你和你的家，且因在你那里很好，你就要拿苇子将他的耳朵在门上刺透，他便永为你的奴仆了。你带依你也要这样，你任他自由的时候，你不可为难事，因他服侍你六年，脚比雇工的工价多加一倍了。耶和华你的神就必在你所做的一切事上赐福于你。上个星期我们谈到这个律法的功用。
Last week we talked about the functions of the law.
我们谈到这个扶助穷人和不可扬为不见的律法。
We talked about the law concerning helping the poor and also not ignoring those in need.
那么今天我们继续来谈到这个律法的功用。
And we continue to talk about the function of the law today.
首先我们来看有关这个审判的公正。
First, let's consider the judgment must be fair.
保护这个生态的环境。
And then, protect animal life and environment.
和表现这个良善之心的立法。
And also demonstrating kindness.
我们神把这些立法律例赐给人。
God has given these laws to people.
目的就是要他的子民在这个世界上建立一个美好的社会。
For the sake that his people may establish a good society here on earth.
除了上个星期我所讲的。
And besides what I said last week.
立法的功用就是要人能够施行，在施行审判的时候以公正的方法来执行。
One of the functions of the law is that when men execute judgment, that it must be fair.
执行这些审判的时候必须要按照一些原则。
And as they pass a judgment, they must follow a certain set of principles.
这些原则包括以下的五点。
And these principles include the following five points.
那么第一点我们来看。
First, let us consider.
人无论犯什么罪，做什么恶，不可凭一个人的口做见证，总要凭两三个人的口做见证，才可定案。
One witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses.
这里强调到见证人的见证必须要绝对的真实。
And here it emphasizes that the testimony of a witness must be true.
就是不能够凭一个人的口定罪。
A man cannot be convicted of a crime just by the word of one man's mouth.
必须要有两三个人的见证才算数。
It's only by two or three testimonies then it can count.
在旧约时代。
In Old Testament time.
在审案判决的时候。
As they're making judgment.
主要都是靠人的供词。
It's mainly relying on the testimony of men.
比较少用物件。
Rarely do they use material examples.
或者物证哦。现在有时候在法庭里面，除了供词，也有那些物证。
And so, but nowadays in courtroom, besides the people's testimonies, there's also physical evidence.
在旧约的时代，很少用这个物证。
But in the Old Testament, they rarely use physical evidence.
那么因此，见证人的供词必须要很可靠。
Therefore, the testimony of the witnesses must be trustworthy.
不然的话会造成误判。
Otherwise, it can cause a false judgment.
在这种情况之下。
So under this circumstance.
一个人的见证不够可靠。
One man's testimony is not trustworthy.
不足够成为一个很好的证据。
It's insufficient evidence.
两三个人的见证比一个人的见证来得好。
But the testimony of two or three witnesses is better than just one.
但并不是说完全没有问题。
Of course, it's not saying that that's without any problems.
比如说在旧约圣经里面有一个这样的事情。
For example, something that happened in the Old Testament.
阿哈王的耶西别贪图拿伯的葡萄园。
The wife of Ahab, Jezebel, desired Naboth's vineyard.
就买通了两个匪徒来做假见证来陷害他。
So she bought off a couple worthless men to set a trap for Nabal.
因为要抢夺他的财产。
For the sake of gaining his inheritance.
然后我们看第十六节。
And we look at verse 16.
若有凶恶的见证人起来见证某人作恶。
If a malicious witness takes a stand to accuse a man of a crime.
我们看到这个若是注明这是一个条件立法。
So if, the word if, it says that this is a conditional law.
假设有个恶人做假证件来陷害别人。
If a malicious witness, takes a stand to accuse a man of a crime.
那么他就是违反了十诫的第九条诫命。
Then he has broken the ninth commandment.
不可做假见证陷害人。
And you will not bear false witness against your neighbor.
所以第十七节我们来看。
So if we look at verse 17.
这两个真颂的人就要站在耶和华面前和当时的祭司第审判官面前。
The two men must, involved in the dispute must stand in the presence of the Lord before the priests and judges who are in office at the time.
所以刚才我讲第一个原则必须要有两三个见证人。
So the first principle is that you must have two or three witnesses.
第二个原则，审判是服输神的，是神的。
And the second principle is that judgment belongs to the Lord.
所以按照第十七节，我们看到有两种人有权利在神的面前施行审判。
So we see that there are two types of people who has authority to execute judgment before the Lord.
他们就是祭司跟审判官。
They're priests and judges.
根据立法的原则，在人还没有被定罪之前，
According to the principles of the law, before a man is convicted of a crime,
他是无辜的。
He is considered innocent.
如果从现代的法律来看的话，
From today's laws,
这种原则叫做无辜的假释。
This is the presumption of innocence.
也就是说每一个人在还没有被定罪之前他是清白的。
That is everyone who, before he is convicted of crime is cleared.
所以这节经文讲到站在耶和华的面前。
So this verse says, to stand in the presence of the Lord.
通常就是指那个圣所。
Usually that means, being before the holy place.
审判必须在圣所里面进行。
And the judgment must be done in the holy place.
但是有时候也会在处事的地点进行。
But sometimes it also happens at the location of the crime.
祭司跟这个审判官是属灵的领袖。
The priests and the judges are spiritual leaders.
他们都有这个属灵的权柄。
And they have the spiritual authority.
在神的面前按照公义来施行这个审判。
And to judge before the presence of the Lord with justice.
那么就好像这个十七节里面讲到，当他审判的时候，不可，审判的时候不可看人的外貌，听讼不可分贵贱，不可惧怕人，因为审判是属乎神的。若有难断的见案可以呈到我这里来，我就判断。这是摩西讲的话。
And this is something that Moses said. Do not show partiality in judging. Hear both small and great alike. Do not be afraid of any man, for judgment belongs to the Lord. Bring me any case too hard for you, and I will hear it.
今天的这个世上有不少国家的司法已经失去了它的公正。
And today, here on earth, many nations' judicial system has lost any sense of justice.
那么司法受到这些政治人物的摆布。
And the judicial system is controlled by politicians.
那么法院失去了它独立的功能。
And the court has lost its independence.
啊，东南亚有个国家基本上那个司法法院受到那个首相的控制。
And in Southeast Asia, there's a nation whose courts are completely controlled by the leader.
啊，其实不只是只是这个国家。
It's not just this one nation.
啊，世上不少第三世界的国家都有类似的现象。
Actually, many third world nations are under such conditions.
所以圣经讲到审判应当是属乎神的。
So the Bible says that judgment belongs to the Lord.
按照神的立法，不是出于人的意愿。
It's according to God's ways, not according to our desires.
这个是第二个原则。
And this is the second principle.
第三个原则是调查要彻底。
The third principle is that there must be thorough investigation.
我们来看十八节。
And let's look at verse 18.
审判官要细细的查究，若见证人果然是做假见证，以假见证陷害弟兄。
The judges must make a thorough investigation, and if the witness proves to be a liar, giving false testimony against his brother.
那么这节经文讲到，审判定罪之前，必须要调查的清楚。
And here it speaks of before you give a judgment that you must make a thorough investigation.
免得有些人做假见证来陷害别人。
To prevent any false testimonies to come forward.
所以细细的查究是指很客观而且很严谨的调查。
So a thorough investigation is one that's objective and careful.
要有很充分的证据才可以定罪。
And it's only when there's sufficient evidence then you can you pass judgment.
所以在还没有调查清楚之前不可以定罪。
So before a thorough investigation, there cannot be a conviction.
这个是第三个原则。
This is the third principle.
那么第四个原则就是严惩陷害别人的那个人。
And the fourth principle is what should happen to those who are false witnesses.
第十九节我们看，你们就要待他如同他想要带的弟兄，这样就把恶从你们中间除掉。
Then do to him as he intended to do to his brother. You must purge the evil from among you.
陷害人是一个很严重的罪。
To give false testimony against another is a very serious crime.
那么这节经文讲到，他必须承受严重的惩罚。
And here the Bible says that he must suffer severe consequence.
而犯罪的人要得到同等的惩罚。
And so for those who sin in this way must receive the same punishment.
惩罚可能是罚款或者鞭打或者死刑等等。
The punishment may be receiving a fine, it may be receiving lashes or even death.
然后施行这些刑法都是由审判官来执行。
And the carrying out of these judgments is all done by the judges.
受害者的亲属不可以干涉。
And those who are the relatives of those being judged cannot interfere.
以免用感情用事歪曲了这个公义。
So that the emotions would not take over.
这个是第四个原则。
And this is the fourth principle.
第五个原则就是公正的惩罚。
And the fifth principle is a just punishment.
比如一个人被定罪了。
For instance, if a person has been convicted.
这里讲到人若有争讼来听审判，审判官就要定一人有理，定二人有罪。
When men have dispute, they are to take it to the court, and the judges will decide the case, acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty.
二人若该受责打，审判官就要叫他当面伏在地上，按着他的罪，照样责打。
If the guilty man deserves to be beaten, the judge shall make him lie down and have him flogged in his presence with the number of lashes his crime deserves.
只可打40下，不可过数。若过数，便是轻贱你的弟兄了。
But he must not give him more than 40 lashes. If he is flogged more than that, your brother will be degraded in your eyes.
一个人被定罪之后，
After a person has been convicted,
审判官必须以公正而且有责任的施行这个审判。
The judge must be just and also use and apply this punishment.
请注意这段经文前面那句哦，这里定一人有理，定二人有罪。
But please note the passage acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty.
我们这句话是什么意思？
What does that mean?
要定一人有理，定二人有罪。
Acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty.
换句话说，无辜的人要判他没有罪。
In other words, those who are innocent, you must acquit them.
作恶的人要判他有罪。
But those who are guilty, you must condemn them.
这就是公义的审判。
And this is a just decision.
神恨恶那些不公义的审判。
God hates injustice.
如果我们张开我们的眼睛的话，
If we open up our eyes,
看到这个世界上那些审判，
We could see much judgment around us.
实在是很多很多不公义的审判。
There are many injustices that we see.
但是我们看到圣经讲到这个箴言书十七章十五节。
But Proverbs 17:15 says,
定恶人为义的。定一人为恶的，这都是耶和华所憎恶的。
Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both.
所以神恨恶那些不公义的审判。
So God hates unjust judgment.
那么当一个人被定罪之后，
But after a person has been judged,
那么圣经也讲到应以那些公义的惩罚来惩罚这个人。
But the Bible also speaks of using a just punishment to punish these people.
就好像后面那句讲，只可打四十下，不可过数。如果过数的话，便是轻贱你的弟兄了。
Just as this verse, the latter part of this verse says, but he must not give him more than 40 lashes. If he is flogged more than that, your brother will be degraded in your eyes.
如果超过这个次数的话，就是虐待。
Beyond this number, it will become abusive.
而且藐视人的权利。
And it give you the opportunity to degrade someone.
你读新约圣经的时候，你发觉到保罗因为去传讲这个福音的时候，
And if you read the New Testament, that Paul, because of for the sake of the gospel,
被敌对他的犹太人打了五次。
He was flogged by his enemies, the Jewish enemies, 5 times.
你发觉到圣经里面怎么讲？他说，都是四十减一次。
And if you read the scripture, you realize it says that every time it's 40 minus one.
所以他们不可以打四十一次啊。
They cannot do flog him 41 times.
所以他打四十一的时候他们就they'll get into problem.
So if they give him 41 lashes, then they're in trouble.
这个是这个立法的功用，就是讲到人必须要以公正的这个方法来执行这个审判。
And so this is according to God's law that men should use a just method to pass judgment.
那么第二个立法的功用。
And the second function of the law.
让我们来看圣经怎么说。
Let's see what the Bible says.
那么圣经讲到我们要保护生态环境。
The Bible says that we must protect animal life and environment.
神把这个他创造的宇宙世界赐给人。
God has given man his creation.
把管理这个世界的权利托付给人。
And he has given the authority to be a steward to men.
那么神的立法吩咐人不可以破坏这个环境。
And God's law commands us not to ruin the environment.
免得影响到人生活在这个世界的环境。
And adversely impact men's living conditions.
而带来灾祸。
And bring about disaster.
我们看这段经文。
Let's look at this passage.
你若路上遇见鸟窝，或在树上，或在地上，里头有雏，或有蛋，母鸟伏在雏上，或在蛋上，你不可连母带雏一起取去，总要放母，只可取雏，这样你就可以享福，日子得以长久。
If you come across a bird's nest beside the road, either in a tree or on the ground, and the mother is sitting on the young or on the eggs, do not take the mother with the young. You may take the young, but be sure to let the mother go, so that it may go well with you and you may have a long life.
你们当中有谁喜欢养鸟的？
How many of you like to have birds as pets?
在小的时候有没有养鸟？
When you were young, did you have birds as pets?
小的时候有没有抓鸟？
When you were young, did you catch birds?
这个是一个条件例吧。
This is a condition of the law.
强调保护鸟类生态的重要性。
Emphasizing the importance of protecting the birds.
如果一个人遇到这个鸟窝，
If a person comes across a bird's nest,
不晓得你们有这样的经历。
I don't know if you had this experience.
如果你在城市长大，你就没有机会看到鸟窝。
If you grew up in the city, you probably wouldn't have the opportunity.
但是如果你在乡下长大的话，你有可能有机会看到这个鸟窝。
But if you grew up in the countryside, perhaps you have opportunity to see bird's nest.
但是这里讲到，当你看到一个鸟窝的时候，你不可以把，你可以把这个蛋，还有这个他说是雏哦，就是那个小小的鸟拿掉，但是不可以把那个母鸟也带走。
And here it says that if you come across a bird's nest, you can take the egg and the young, but you cannot take the mother.
人如果要遵守这个环境，保护这个环境的原则。
If men are to obey the principle of protecting the environment.
不但这个鸟类能够延续的生存下去。
Not only that, the birds will continue its existence.
人也能够享受神的创造。
Then men can also enjoy God's creation.
所以这里讲到。这样你就可以享福，日子可以得以长久。
So here it says, so that it may go well with you and you may have a long life.
我小的时候没有遵守这个律法。
When I was young, I didn't obey this.
我很喜欢抓鸟。
I like to catch birds.
如果看到这个鸟窝的话。
Whenever I see a bird's nest.
不然就是把它的鸟蛋或者那个小小的鸟拿掉。
Not only would I take the eggs and the young.
如果那个母鸟给我捉到，我也把它拿掉。
If the mother bird is there, I take the mother too.
小的时候很就是很天真。
I was like that when I was young.
我记得有一次抓了一只成熟的鸟。
I remember one time I caught a mature adult bird.
还把它 barbecue 来吃掉。
I barbecued it and ate it.
所以那个时候就是这样。
So that was the way it
我们也没有想到这些鸟以后会不会生存。
I didn't think about the future existence of birds.
我还记得我一个朋友，以前我们就是用这个，有没有记得吗？这个小小的时候
I used to use slingshots.
打这些小打这些鸟。
To hit the birds.
我有一个朋友，他非常的有技巧。
I have a friend who is very skilled.
他早上出门，然后晚上出来的时候。一串鸟。
He go out in the morning, and when he comes back at night, he have a whole string of birds.
那神创造了这个动物和鸟类。
God created animals and birds.
他设计了这个生态环境。
He created the environment that we're in.
人的责任就是要保护这个生态的环境。
And men have the responsibility of protecting this environment.
如果这个生态环境受到破坏的话，
If the environment is destroyed,
那么住在当中的人也会受到灾害。
Those who live within that environment will have problems.
这个是第一点。
This is the first point.
那么在保护这个生态环境当中，第二点要保护这个果树。
And in the picture of larger picture of protecting the environment, we need to protect the fruit trees.
啊，这两节经文，这几节经文是讲到以色列人去攻打这个迦南地的时候。
And these couple verses speaks of when the Israelites were fighting against Canaan.
你若许久为攻，攻打所要取的这城，就不可举斧子砍坏树木，因为你可以吃那树上的果子。不可砍伐田里的树木，若是人叫你糟蹋么？
When you've laid siege to the city for a long time, fighting against it to capture it, do not destroy its trees by putting an axe to them, because you can eat their fruit. Do not cut them down. Are the trees of the field people that you should besiege them?
唯独你所知道不是结果子的树木可以毁坏砍伐，用以修筑林垒，攻击那以你打仗的城，直到攻塌了。
However, you may cut down trees that you know are not fruit trees, and use them to build siege works until the city at war with you falls.
根据这个古代的作战那种方式。
According to ancient ways of battles.
如果那个城池啊，有没有看过这古代的城？如果那个城池不能够攻破
I don't know if you've seen ancient cities, if you cannot breach the walls,
就必须要砍伐这个树木来筑这个垒。
Then you cut down trees to build siege work.
或砍掉这个果树来破坏敌人那种生计。
Or you cut down the fruit trees to ruin the enemy's livelihood.
这么做就能够削减这个敌人那种作战的能力。
And then you reduce their ability to make war.
但是生命记却禁止以色列人这么做。
But Deuteronomy forbids the Israelites to do the same.
并且提醒他们神会为他们打仗。
And remind them that God is the one who will battle for them.
而不是依靠人的聪明或者人的力量。
And it's not trusting men's wisdom and abilities.
以色列人进攻这个迦南地的时候。
When the Israelites fought against the Canaanites.
他们必须要遵守神的旨意。
They must obey God's will.
可是遵守神的旨意的时候，同时他们也必须要保护这个生态环境。
As they obey God's will, they also need to be watchful of protecting the environment.
就是那些果树不可以砍掉。
So as not to cut down the fruit trees.
你在你家里面如果有一棵好吃的果树，你肯定不会把它砍掉，是吧？
If you have a very good fruit tree at home, you wouldn't cut it down.
就是这个道理。
And that's this principle.
那么这个是第二个就是讲到要保护这个生态环境。
And this is the second part that talks about protecting the environment.
立法的第三个功用就是表现这个良善的心。
And the third function of the law is to demonstrate kindness.
在这里讲到，你弟兄中若有一个希伯来男人，或希伯来女人被卖给你，服侍你六年到第七年，就要任他自由出去。你任他自由的时候，不可使他空手而去，要从你羊群、卧场、酒榨之中多多的给他。
If a fellow Hebrew, a man or a woman, sells himself to you and serves you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let him go free. And when you release him, do not send him away empty-handed. Supply him liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your winepress.
古代的社会有两种奴仆。
In ancient times there were two types of slaves.
第一种是那种契约的奴仆。
One is a contract slave.
第二种是那种终身的奴仆。
And the second is the lifelong slave.
以色列人只可以拥有这个契约的奴仆。
The Israelites can only own contract slave.
主人不可以终身的拥有这些就是那些终身的奴仆。
The owner cannot own a lifetime slave.
只有外邦人，就是除了以色列人之外，拥有这种终身的奴仆。
They can only own foreigners as a lifetime slave.
生命记的立法非常重视这个人道的那种精神。
And the law in Deuteronomy really focuses on the kindness, the spirit of kindness.
衍生过这个古代社会那种立法。
And it's greater than the, many of the laws of ancient times.
所以神吩咐以色列人要善待这些奴仆。
So God commands the Israelites to be kind to the slaves.
让他们也参与这个安息日和各种各样的节期。
So that they may partake of the Sabbath day and also many other feasts.
所以在第七年的时候必须要让这些奴仆离开。
And on the seventh year, they are to set free these slaves.
得到他们的自由。
And that they will receive their freedom.
不止这样，也要用金钱或者财物来补偿他们。
And not only this, that they must also give them money and other monetary material goods to compensate them.
假设有一些奴仆愿意留下来。
And if any slaves desire to stay,
以色列人也要用正式的方式来接纳他们。
The Israelites must also use a formal way of accepting them.
以色列人蒙了神的拯救。
The Israelites were redeemed by God.
所以他们应当也善待这些奴仆。
Therefore, they also need to be kind to the slaves.
使到他们也能够认识这位真神。
So that they too may know the true God.
所以十八节讲到这里耶和华必大大的赐福给你。
And the last part of verse 18 says, And the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do.
最后一点哦。
And the last point.
就是要不只要善待奴仆。
It's not only to be kind to the slaves.
也要善待这个牲畜。
But also being kind to the animals.
牛在场上踹谷的时候不可笼住它的口。
Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain.
换句话说，当这头牛为你工作的时候。
In other words, while this ox is working for you.
你不可以把它嘴绑住。
You cannot tie its mouth shut.
不给它吃东西。
So that it cannot eat.
这节经文的意思就是说要善待这个牲畜。
This verse means that you must be kind to the animals.
所以在新约圣经里面，保罗引用了这节经文。
So in the New Testament, Paul uses this verse.
当然保罗不在这里不是讲那个牛啊。
Of course, here Paul is not talking about ox.
保罗是在这里讲传道的人。
Paul here is talking about the preachers.
他说工人必得工价是应当的。
He says the worker deserves his wages.
他是讲到一个传福音的人，一个传道的人，如果没有得到他的所应当得的。
He's speaking of those who preach the gospel that they deserve their wages.
就好像这头牛为主人工作的时候，然后把他的嘴巴绑起来。
Just as when the ox is working for his owner, that his mouth is tied together.
那么上个星期跟这个星期我谈到这个律法的功用。
So last week and this week I talked about the function of the law.
这个律法圣经讲能够建立一个美好的社会。
And God says that this law can establish a wonderful society.
美国这个国家开始建国的时候。
At the founding of the United States,
美国的宪法是建立在这个十诫的基础上。
The laws of the United States was established on the foundation of the Ten Commandments.
为什么美国在200多年的时间能够成为世界上一个强大的国家？
Why is it that United States in a span of 200 years can become such a great nation?
因为美国的宪法是建立在这本圣经上。
Because the law of God, law of the United States was established upon the Bible.
因为他们跟从这个圣经的教导。
Because they followed the teaching of Scripture.
直到这个社会能够成为一个美好的社会。
So that the society became a good society.
一个国家有美好的社会，国家就强盛起来。
When a nation has a good society, then the nation will be strong.
所以这就是律法的功用。
And this is the function of the law.
但是 不晓得美国能够持续多久，如果离开神的话。
But if this nation departs from God, I don't know how long it will last.
让我们在神的面前祷告。
Let's pray.
天父，我们感谢你赐给我们今天的话语。
Father, we thank you for giving us today's words.
我们感谢你，因为你的律法能够建立一个美好的社会。
Thank you that through your law that a good society may be established.
当人遵守你的律法的时候
，And when men obey your law,
一切都是美好的。
All will be good.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣基督的名求。
We pray this in Jesus' name.